This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, let's hear the truth. Please open your King James Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 1, where we left off last time. John, chapter 16, verse 1. Just before we begin, I would like to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., for this wonderful book, chapter, verse, and line Bible teaching. And then we open the healing bench and we pray for healing and deliverance and all kinds of good things. Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, each Sunday, 5 p.m. You are so welcome and you will be blessed. Now, for the last two chapters, Jesus has been preparing his disciples for the fact that he's about to be crucified and he's going to leave them in the flesh. So he told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. I want you to abide in the vine, and the vine is the word. And then you will have that resting place no matter what trouble you see." And so he told them that. And they are about to begin the church. He is the head of the church, but he's leaving them with their orders to preach the gospel, first to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now here's what he tells them. As they begin to preach the word, here's what will happen.
John 16, verse 1. "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended."
Now, in the Greek, the word offended means to scandalize. He's saying, you are going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Anytime a person teaches God's word truly, you are persecuted because the word is God and the word is the book, and that's the most important thing. In other words, if you are serving God or in a ministry which you're helping get the word out, if you're not being persecuted, then maybe you're just taking up space. You will get dirty letters. People will call you false prophets. People will send you death threats. They will call you all kinds of things, and that's a badge of honor. So I do hope that all of you who are living for Jesus and truly serving him are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, okay? Don't be offended. That goes with the territory.
Verse 2, "They shall put you out of the synagogue."
Okay, they'll put you out of the church. Now, the truth is that when the Antichrist comes, he is the devil with his Jesus costume on, at the sixth trump coming up soon, for the few small Christians, the elect, 7,000 only, Romans 11, who are not going to be deceived, since the whole world and half the body of Christ, Revelation 13, are going to believe that the Antichrist is God, since that elect of the church will not believe that he is Christ, will not worship him, we would be like not a part of the church. People will say, "Boy, those are pagan down there." The Christians who are going to think it's Jesus will think, "We are not Christians. You don't believe it's Jesus." So they'll excommunicate us. If you are going to a building calling itself church, if you are not getting every word of God, the best thing could ever happen to you is for you to be kicked out. Look at Martin Luther. He was excommunicated from the Catholic Church, and look, he began the Protestant Revolution. So let's have some more excommunication.
"Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think they be God's servant."
Well, in level number one, ISIS today, worshiping a false god, thinks that if they kill Christians, that they're doing their quote-unquote little god a favor. But the deeper meaning here is Mark 13. Remember, these things happened to them, for an example, for us. Jesus says that when the Antichrist comes, the brothers and the sisters in the church, that would be the church to see, Christian church, are going to deliver the elect up to death The brother shall deliver the brother to death, the mother the daughter, the daughter the mother, the father the sister. In other words, brothers and sisters, the church are going to bring us up to, you mean kill us? No. The death, devil's name is death. Hebrews 2:14, Jesus says, I came to destroy death, whose name is the devil. They're going to turn us in to Mr. Death, who's the Antichrist, but they think he's Jesus, see. And they think they're doing God a favor because they think they are doing the work of Jesus. That's the mark in their right hand. They are working for the Lord, they think, except they're delivering us up to Mr. Death. Don't fear, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. Jesus is telling us so we won't be confused.
And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father.
Now, why would another Christian who loves Jesus and goes to church all their life turn you or turn me in when the Antichrist comes? Because they don't love the Father. You say, yes, we do. We love Jesus. Wait a minute. Who is the Father? Who is Jesus? In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word was God. They love not the Word. See, if the deceived Christian church is going to be deceived when the Antichrist comes and thinks he's the Savior, like the world, if they love the Word, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, they would not be deceived. They don't love the Word. You don't tell me, you say, I love Jesus, but I don't love the Word. No, Jesus and the Word are the same. See, before he was Jesus, he was the Word, okay? And then he took himself a body and called himself Yeshua Jesus. So you don't, because if they knew the Word, even a child could read Revelation. I just recently taught it. And 6 comes before 7. At the 6th trump, Antichrist appears, calling himself God. And then at the 7th trump, Jesus comes. Duh. Okay, they love not the Word, so you'd be deceived.
Nor me.
And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, says Jesus. The Father and I are one. So see, everybody says, I love Jesus, and they go run to the Antichrist. Love you, Jesus, cast out demons, went to church all the time. Uh-uh. No, if you don't love the Word, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, you don't love him, because Jesus is the living Word.
But these things have I told you, that when the time come, you may remember that I told you of them.
In Mark 13, Jesus says, lo, I have foretold you all things. There should be no surprises. Now, when the Antichrist appears, that will not be a surprise to those of us who elect. And it should not be a surprise that the whole world and the Christian church will have a big revival thinking Jesus is here. It should be no surprise to you that they're going to bring you up to the churches and push you before the Antichrist to try to convert you. It should be no surprise. Truly, everything that's going on in our nation, in the world, is foretold. Jesus foretold us all things. He reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The reason people don't know what's going on and what's happening is you haven't loved the Word.
Amen. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you.
Now Jesus said, I didn't tell you all of that. I didn't tell you were going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake when I first met you. When I was walking by the seashore, says Jesus, and I saw you, James and John, washing your fish nets, and I said, come and follow me. I didn't say, John, you're going to be thrown into a hot pot of oil and boiled until your flesh comes off, and then you're going to be thrown in your painful body on a rock place called Patmos. And James, I didn't tell you you're going to be the first martyr. Herod's going to kill you. And Peter, bless your heart, I didn't tell you you're going to be crucified upside down. And another one of you, I didn't tell you that you're going to be filleted like a fish alive. I didn't tell you that. When God called me, he did not tell me all I would go through. It would be overwhelming. But I can tell you one thing. He'll bring you through it. And you still have the joy.
Amen.
But now I go my way unto him that sent me.
I'm leaving you now, he says.
And none of you ask of me, whither goest thou?
Well, why in the world don't you ask me where I'm going? He sees them sitting there. They're stunned.
But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart.
They have been with Jesus on the most exciting journey for 3 years. And I mean, this is fun. I mean, it's never a dull moment. And he's going to leave. You mean you called us? You brought us through all this? And now you're going to leave us? Oh, they love Jesus. Now, sometimes when you're in a dry desert place, you're going to think that Jesus walked away from you. No, he did not, and he's about to prove it. He's right there all the time.
7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away.
Jesus says it's for your good that I'm going away. Remember Joseph said of his brothers that had sold him into slavery, you meant it for evil, but God turned it for good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his name. In other words, it is for your own good. Why would that be? Jesus was in the flesh, and while he could do miracles and walk on the water and had supernatural power, his flesh body could be only with one disciple at the time. If Jesus were still in his flesh body, he could be here with us in Trumpet of Truth, but his flesh body could not be in Africa in that Christian church. So he's going to tell you why it's for our good.
For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you.
The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, everywhere, all at the same time. The Holy Spirit is omniscient. He knows everything about everything, how to fix your gadget. And the Holy Spirit is omnipotent, unlimited power. Now, he can be with us here in Trumpet of Truth and be over in Africa, Europe, somewhere in a service, and the power is not limited. Now, you see, I want to entitle this chapter, You Have Dynamite Power.
But if I depart, I will send him unto you.
The Holy Spirit.
8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Now, the first operation of the Holy Spirit of Jesus is in an assembly or individuals is to convict people of sin. In other words, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And if those sins have not been exchanged with the righteousness of Jesus, one of his names is Yahweh Tsidkenu. It's on my wall back of my head, Hebrew. The Lord our righteousness. If our filthy sins, and that's in Zechariah, have not been exchanged for the righteousness of Jesus, and he's put on us the robe of righteousness and the mitre on our head, then when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be found guilty and we'll have to walk into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels, which comes into existence at the end of the millennium. So he says that's the first job. So anytime you're praying for someone to be saved, here's how you do it. You don't try to teach them the Bible and all that. You live before them. You show them love. Here's how you pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that the Holy Spirit will convict Susie of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And I ask the Holy Spirit will draw Susie to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Remember, God says, no man cometh unto him except he draw him. Keep that in mind.
Of sin, because they believe not on me.
In other words, the wages of sin is death. And except you believe on Jesus, those sins will always remain.
10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more.
So we can repent of our sins, confess them, and believe on Jesus. He is now at the right hand of God, and he will take our filthy sins and give us an exchange, the great exchange. He will give us the robe of righteousness and put a mitre on our head and call us clean. Hallelujah.
11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged.
The prince of this world is the prince in power of the air, Satan himself. He's already been judged in Ezekiel 28 to perish from within and be no more. He's judged to walk into the lake of fire. But if you have exchanged your sins for Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, judgment day, you're going to be found not guilty. Maybe God will say, how do you plead? You say, blood of Jesus. Okay? Yeah. Not guilty. Blood of Jesus. Blood. Everybody say, blood of Jesus.
Blood of
There you go. And so Judgment Day is going to be Reward Day. Reward Day. You live for Jesus, you win souls to Jesus, you plant seeds for Him, and you love Him and point others to Him and give His word out, share, bring people in the kingdom. It's Reward Day.
Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them.
Now, the disciples did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they had Jesus. He said, I cannot tell you all of the things the Holy Spirit will do and help you to do. You don't understand it now. They could only understand it after Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and sat on their heads like cloven tongues of fire. God's a consuming fire. And then they were filled with that Spirit. Now we're going to talk about some of the things Holy Spirit does. Now they can understand it. And you and I can understand it because Jesus has died. He has risen, and He has sent the Holy Spirit to us.
13, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come.
Jesus is truth. John 14 told us that. So it's the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Jesus. Holy Spirit is Jesus. Remember, God is a Spirit, and Jesus is God. So now He can be everywhere all at the same time.
He will guide you into all truth.
He will show you the mystery of God, which is written in the love letter, Genesis 1, Revelation 22. I ask Him all the time, and He guides me into all truth.
For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that will He speak.
Now, when you got saved, Christian, and I'm just talking to those of you who are saved, all right, you've accepted Jesus, your sins are forgiven. When you got saved, right then and there, the Holy Spirit came and connected with your spirit. You are a spirit. But He came alongside of you. The Greek word is paraclete, to walk alongside of you. But see, some of you have never, ever, ever realized that you have the dynamite power right there with you. You didn't know anything about it. Many of you never talk about or talk to or call on the Holy Spirit. Now, that's because you have just let Him stay beside you. Now, in Acts chapter 19, a group of people had just gotten saved. They accepted Jesus. They were saved. And Paul went to them to disciple them in the Word, and he said, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, we don't know that it is even a Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I have a baptism with which to baptize you. The baptism of fire. God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12:29. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. So many of you have that Holy Spirit. He's connected, but you have not been baptized. Baptized means to totally submerge, like you put a piece of cloth in a dye and you submerge it. So in other words, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Then and only then will you have power in your Christian life. Let me give you an example. Let's just say that you have a swimming pool in your backyard. We're going to let the swimming pool represent the Holy Spirit. And in other words, even in Ezekiel, the Holy Spirit is water. Deep calls unto deep. You've got a beautiful swimming pool. Now you're saved, and you've got your clothes on. You've got an appointment in about 45 minutes. You got dressed early. You got your hair all slicked back, or sprayed, or whatever, women or man. And you got your nice clothes on, but you just want to go sit by the pool. You are now sitting by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has not comforted you or refreshed you or given you any kind of help here. And you sit by the pool. You don't want to mess up your hair or your clothes, because after all, you're not yielding and jumping into that pool, because you're in charge of your life. And by God, you're gonna get your life just right, and you're going to take charge. But all of a sudden, the pool calls. Remember, no man comes to the Father except they draw him. These drawing, come on in, the water's fine. Dive in, deep calls unto deep. So you finally stick your hand in there. Oh, that feels good. Then you take off your shoes. Well, it won't hurt me to get my feet wet. You dangle your shoe. All of a sudden, you just give it up. I don't care about me anymore. I don't care about me being in charge. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to yield everything I am. I'm going in, and in you go. You dive into the pool. You dive in. You yield everything, and you go into the Holy Spirit. And now, He is beneath you. He is on side of you and is above you. And like Ezekiel 28, you are swimming in the pool. You are swimming in this beautiful Holy Spirit. And yet you can breathe and you open your mouth and you drink it in. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with him, because you've given up yourself, you're not on the throne anymore, he's totally in charge of you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Flip it over. As many as are not led by the Spirit of God, they are not the sons of God. Now, did I change the word? No, the word says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right. Now the Holy Spirit can start using you. He would teach you how to pray. See, you can pray everything I say, all the scripture, do it right, say it pretty, make everybody in the room feel like you love them. But if the Holy Spirit didn't pray it, the shuttle does not go up without the fire. We know not how to pray for as we ought, Romans 8:26. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered, that we pray according to the Father's word. And when the Holy Spirit prays through you, that fire goes up to God, and he shoots it back down in answered prayer. Then the Holy Spirit will sing through you. You say, why sing? Because Psalm says that Jesus is the chief musician. A chief musician sings, duh, okay? Now, if he can find someone that can carry a tune, he will sing. You say, well, why would he sing? Is he singing a song to be pretty? No, he's singing his word, or he's singing a word of prophecy or knowledge through a person. Because singing, the frequency that is released from singing is more powerful than the frequency released from speaking. I can sit at my piano and I can speak with the power and anointing of Holy Spirit, but my crystal vase on my piano will not break. But I can sit at my piano, and if I sing at a certain frequency and it's a good day of voice, that vase will shatter. Been there, done that, okay? So when the Holy Spirit will sing through you, demonic forces are shattered, diseases are shattered and released and come out of you. He does all kind of good things, doesn't he? Yeah. Now, then the Holy Spirit's watching you. Now, Jesus says, abide in the vine and you're the branch. And if you abide in me, he's the word, he said, you will bear fruit. So Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. You can know a person who has the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you will see fruit. What's the fruit? Galatians 5:22-23, 24, right in there. Now, you might not have all of these, or some of these are just beginning to bud, but you can have all nine as you completely yield. Now, you are a tree of righteousness, Isaiah 61. Now, let's watch these beautiful fruits hanging off of you. The first one is love. And it's first and foremost. Anybody who's baptized with the Holy Spirit has warm, joyous love. You're no longer an introvert because you've died to yourself. You know what shyness and introversion is, thinking of yourself. I'm sorry, but it is. You're so afraid somebody's going to not like you and look down on you. See, you don't care about yourself anymore. So you just love. All right, then there's joy. I mean, despite it all, you still got the joy. There's peace. There's long suffering. Whoa, I mean, 7 years going by, you're still suffering. Look, you still got the love, joy, and peace. Now that's somebody baptized with the Holy Spirit. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Meekness means that even though maybe you have talents, you can find someone else with a talent and you can promote them above yourself because you are humble. You don't have to blow your own horn, but you do lift up others. Controlled strength, humility. And then the last one is temperance or self-control. Now, when the Holy Spirit sees that you are a tree of righteousness with all of the beautiful fruit, just look like a Christmas tree by now, okay? And you can have all of those. All you have to do is keep yielding and jump in. The water's fine. Dive into the Holy Spirit. Then you're ready to be a vessel of value in the Father's house. And then he gives you gifts. 1 Corinthians 9. He decides when to give you the gift and to whom to give the gift. Sometimes you need one gift and sometimes another. But if you're yielded, if you're with the Spirit, the gifts will flow through you. The first one is the word of knowledge. When the Holy Spirit is filled inside of a person, they have the baptism. The Holy Spirit will very often speak something that the person for whom the anointed one is praying, the prayee, knows, and the prayer doesn't know it, but the Holy Spirit does. And it's so comforting. We'll tell them something about themselves or some dream they've had or something they've had or what's going to happen to them. That's the Holy Spirit. See, people make that up, but the Holy Spirit's the one. He knows everything, remember. The next one is the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom means that you are wise. You're wise. You have the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of greater than Solomon in you. And so when people need counsel and they don't know what to do about things, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. He will often tell me, somebody will be telling me a problem, and before they finish telling me, the Holy Spirit's already shown me the answer. That's the word of wisdom. Okay? The Holy Spirit then, because now you are a fruit bearer, he's going to give you these gifts so you can be useful. Now you're ready. Now you are a vessel of value in God's hand. So you have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. You might not have all of them. You might operate in one. Sometimes you operate in all of them. He gives it when it's needed. The third one is faith. Now, everybody has a measure of faith like a grain of mustard seed. So this is not talking about that. But this is talking about a person who has mountain moving faith, and it's been exercised. See, faith is your servant. In other words, most of you let your servant faith lie on the couch and eat bonbons, and you don't use it. Let's say you get sick. Well, faith, come here, I'm sick. Faith comes hearing by the word of God. Faith gives you the word. You believe in the word and you get well. Okay? No, lie on the couch, faith. Doctor, I don't mean it's wrong to go to doctors. If you can't walk on water, take a boat. But you didn't even use your faith. See, we live in a world, we walk by faith. And see, the same thing in money. Oh, God, I got to get a loan. Somebody lend me some money. I got to have some money. Got to get a better job. Faith lying on the couch eating bonbons. Faith, come here and help me. Faith says, look at this word. Give it, it'll be given unto you. He'll multiply your seed sown. Bring your tithes into the storehouse. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, you are using your servant and servant. So a person baptized with the Holy Spirit has exercised faith, and it starts in small ways. You might have to start with a toe ache. You might have to start with a flu. You might have to start with an earache. But in other words, you might get up to where I did, cancer. It might be that, but sooner or later, that faith is going to rise up. Then he gives you the gift of discernment of spirits. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, someone can walk into our assembly now. They could be saying the word of God. They could be saying flowering words. Oh, Sherry, you are so wonderful. I love you. I just think you're the greatest person in the world. And they're about to saw the rug out from under me. And I know that. See, you can see the demon come and piggyback on people. You can see it. You can smell it. You can touch it. You can feel it. I have seen people come in here pretending to be God's people, and there was a sickly green color that came from them and came and jumped on me, and I got hit. In other words, you have that. You better have that. We live in a world where the river Euphrates has been opened, and all the demons are there. So you can't be deceived. So then he also gives you the gift of prophecy. Now Jesus is going to speak of that.
And he will show you things to come.
When the Holy Spirit gives you the gift of prophecy, he will speak what's going to happen. He will sometimes do it in a dream. He will do an audible voice when you're praying for someone. Often, very times, I see it like a picture. If the devil is about to attack you, very often he will show you a picture of a snake as long as eternity with the biggest head you've ever seen trying really hard to get in your door. And then you say, oh, okay, the enemy is about to attack me. So then you're prepared and you can head that off because you have the power to do that. Now, then he will give you the gift of healing. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. Now, I want to explain something. Every time I ever pray for someone who's sick, I am aware that the Spirit of God comes up out of my belly like a river of water, on through my arms like a conduit, and onto my hands to transmit that power. The Holy Spirit never fails me because I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit. I say this humbly. But not everybody will receive it. There are people who are so cold-hearted, they just say, show me. And so they reject it. That did not mean the gift did not operate. There are people who will take it a little bit, chew on it, and maybe the next day they get a little bit healed. And then there are people who say, ha, I believe I'm healed. And they receive it and boom, right then. So you see, just because if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you lay hands on the people. In other words, the Holy Spirit works in you when he will. And then, of course, there's a gift of the working of miracles. That's when we find a man on his deathbed, and so he's been given the last rites, but he's lost. And we read the word of God over him with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He opens his eyes, and I say to him, "Do you know Jesus?" And he says, "No, but I would like to." And he comes back alive to get saved. That's a miracle. And then we have the gift of tongues. Tongues in the Greek means language. Well, what kind of language? Is it French, German, English? What is it? It's the language of the Holy Spirit. And God speaks all languages. Now, on level one, at Pentecost, when the cloven tongues came, those people spoke the word of God, and the Holy Spirit interpreted the language of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit did the ninth gift of Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 9, the interpretation. The Holy Spirit interpreted what they spake in the Holy Spirit's language to people who were there from all nations and different tongues. When the elect are delivered up to Antichrist, the Holy Spirit will speak his language through us, and the Holy Spirit then will interpret it so everybody in the world can understand what we say. But the third level here, the Lord gave me this just today. We haven't gotten this one. The gift of tongues, which means languages, is that he gives you the gift to rightly divide his word, to speak the word of God from the Bible, from the very core and heart of God, the true meaning, uncover the secret meaning, the mystery of God, and he anoints, and you speak that language. And the interpretation is that the Holy Spirit will interpret it through you so that you can get it out to the people. I've been saying 1 Corinthians 9, excuse me, it's 1 Corinthians 12. I got my tongue tangled. 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit. For you. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask right now, O Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit, I ask you to move out through the airwaves wherever anyone is listening, and I ask you to break down the stony barriers and cause people to yield. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God upon you, the anointing come upon you. Hallelujah. His left hand under your head, his right hand doth embrace you. Praise ye the Lord. Okay, we'll begin right there next time. And were you blessed? Let's have a amen. Praise the Lord. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson, my twin friend. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. That was a great, great, great word tonight about the Holy Spirit and the teaching of him and just an anointing, releasing him. That was awesome.
Oh, I just pray many people got it.
Oh, I know. I'll bet you. I can just see them.
You've got it.
Dancing on their heads. Okay, our first question tonight. What is the most important need in the church today?
The most important need is answered by Jesus in Matthew 4:4. Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need the Bible, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, taught by an anointed, Holy Spirit-filled person from the languages, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. If the church had the word, you would know what to do when sickness comes. If the church had the word, you would know what to do when ISIS comes. If the church had the word, you'd know what to do when you're groaning and moaning and you're in trouble and you're grief. We understand we all have problems. But the word tells you all of that. Instead, the church has to run and call this person and find this book. I read this in a quarterly. It said a little word for me. Or go on Facebook and find what somebody says, and it's not even in the Bible. Every answer is in the word. Why in the world do you think you wrote us a love letter? That's the missing ingredient. When you've got the word of God, you have every solution, every answer, everything you ever need from the cradle to the grave, from the time you were created before you were in your mother's womb to all eternity.
Amen. And I know we're told also that the famine in the end times is not for food, it's for the word of God.
Absolutely. Amos 8:11. That's it. That's true.
That people, I've seen some of these largest churches, I was flipping through the station the other day, and for 40 minutes they talked about Star Wars. I mean,
and the people enjoyed the story.
Yeah,
that's
it was enjoyable, but
that's
but there the feast, the famine. Yeah.
And see, that doesn't help those poor sheep when they go out and go to trouble the next day with the word of God.
Being attacked too. Our next question ties right into this. Does the church as a whole properly represent Jesus?
Not as a whole. I'm very sorry to say. I have a prayer line and, you know, ministered to many people through the years. No, most people give God bad publicity. The poor little me, I'm suffering so. Now, I know you have troubles. I have troubles too. And I'm the first person that's going to hug you and cry for you. And I'm going to do everything in the world to pray for you and help you get back on your feet. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about, that you perpetually only moan and groan, and you act to the world, they don't even know you have a Jesus. You bear your troubles the same way lost people bear those. I mean, do you really have Jesus? That's not properly representing him. I know you hurt. I'm hurting too. But I have Jesus. There's a difference in my demeanor because I've got a Savior, and you've got a Savior. And this is not all.
Amen.
That's right. And we cry out for the church, too.
Yes,
I mean,
we pray for the church.
We
love
the
church.
Yeah.
That's right, Scott. We're praying Wednesday Warriors. Our mission now is to pray for the church to be reformed and so they can have the word and be whole and proper to represent Jesus and be well and happy.
Like he says, 2 out of 5 make it. Mm-hmm. We're praying for those other ones.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
okay,
right.
Our last question. What does the word church mean?
The Greek word ekklesia, it means set aside one, set apart for holy use. So see, not everybody's the church. It's not a building. It's people who are totally dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you love Jesus, you will love the word. Now, you know, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in a bag. It's time now, ta-da, for Scott's stuff.
Which is more word. Okay. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is time. It is time to prepare for the coming of our King, a time to wash ourselves in his word. Luke 1:17.
Luke 1:17. Thank you, Scott Merson. That is so beautiful. You want to go to the produce place in Suntree, Florida. That is absolutely produce from heaven. Scott doesn't tell me to do that. I just do that because I eat the food. It's good. And I love you, and I want you to eat the food, too. I want you to pray with me the prayer of salvation. Come. The Holy Spirit says, come. And Jesus says, come. And the bride says, come. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I confess that Jesus died.
I confess that Jesus died.
And I believe in my heart.
And I believe in my heart.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Please fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Use me.
Use me, Lord.
To enlarge God's territory.
To enlarge God's territory.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 In a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Call and leave a message and tell me you were saved. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask the Son of Righteousness will arise now with healing in his wings to the north, the south, and east, and the west. In the name of the power of Jesus, I speak to ears, the left ear and the right ear. Ear, epita. Ear, epita. Ear, be open. And I speak to the ringing in the left ear. Stop ringing. I speak to the ringing in the right ear. Stop ringing in Jesus' name. Let there be peace in the eardrum. Let there be restructured in the eardrum. Everything about the ear, let it be restructured. Let it be at ease. Let the ringing be gone in Jesus' name. Let there be quiet. Let there be perfect hearing, no reverberation or anything in Jesus' mighty name. Ears, be healed in Jesus' name. And now we go to the colon in Jesus' name. We speak to the colon. Let there be perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction nor inaction, divine order in elimination and assimilation and circulation in the name and the power of Jesus. We speak to lungs, be unclogged in Jesus' name. Vocal cords, voice boxes, be free, be healed. Congestion, go in Jesus' name. Arthritis, be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Sinuses, be healed. Flu, in Jesus' name, fly away. That's the only thing needs to fly away. Flu, fly away in Jesus' mighty name. Loose, loose, loose the people in Jesus' mighty name. Let the Holy Ruach breathe. Oh, be healed, be healed, be healed. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. With Jesus' stripes, you were healed. We praise God for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Now, those of you who are healed, feel free to call me and let me know that too. And I am getting your prayers for healing, and I am praying for you. Well, it's time now for my love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. My three L's, the letter L. Each day, love. Each day, learn. Each day, laugh. Love. 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 Learn something new. Learn something about the Bible. Laugh out loud, a belly laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, you may have my three L's. God bless you. I thank you so much for listening to Trumpet of Truth. Tell other people about it so they can be blessed too. And I love all of you, and I'm getting your calls, and I thank you, and I love you with all my heart. Don't forget Sundays, 5 p.m. here at my school if you'd like to come. And remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is true. Now wait for my announcer and the little piano section I'm going to play there of the Our Father. And until next time, this is Sherry Medlock in Jesus' truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
In the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you. Onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know. strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let the humble come and give thanks to the one who made us, the one.
Oh, and did you hear me call your name? Wasn't it you I gave my heart to? I wish you'd remember where you set it down. And this is all that I can say right now. No, it's not much, but this is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything. This is all that I can say right now, right now. No, it's not much, but this is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything. Didn't know that was you holding me. I didn't notice you were crying too. I didn't know that that was you washing my feet. And this is all that I can say right now. Oh, I know it's not much. This is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything. This is all that I can say right now, right now. No, it's not much. But this is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything. This is all that I can say right now. Oh, I know it's not much, but this is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything. Yeah, that's my everything. Yeah, that's my everything.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM. Sorrow.
dead will he bring day from night when shadows fall on us. We will not fear, we will remember when darkness falls on us. We will not fear, we will remember when all seems lost, when the golden amber tossed. We'll remember the cost, we rest in it, the shadow of the cross.
With every breath I take, every heartbeat, sunrise or the moonlight through the dark street, every dance, every note of a song, all I give but deserve that I shouldn't have known. Every moment I lie, every moment I covet, I'm deserving to die, I'm earning your judgment. Ah, without the cross, there's only condemnation. Jesus wasn't executed, there's no celebration. So in times of the good, in times of the bad, for any time I had it all, I would be glad. I will boast in the cross, I'll boast in his name, I will boast in the sunshine, boast in his rain. What's my life if it's not praising you? Another dollar in my bank account, a vain pursuit. I do, that count my life as any value, precious at all. Let me finish my race, let me ask you God.
Young.